Brother Staggs, would you hear prayer?
Thank you. Thank you again that we have this opportunity to come together and sing songs of praise and to gather around the table and remember the sacrifice that our Lord made on the cross for all of us. That we might study a part of your word, Father, and pray that Michael has a lesson this morning that will be most profitable and beneficial for all of us. And help us all, Father, to have a ready and open mind to receive the things that you have for us and to make the proper application that we need to make in each of our lives. And Father, we pray this morning for those that are sick. We pray that you'll comfort them and give them the strength and the courage that they need. And help us always, Father, to be mindful of each other and the needs of each other and to do what we can to alleviate the suffering of others. And Father, as we continue in our worship service this morning, we pray that we might successfully put away all worldly thoughts and cares and simply focus on our worship service to you. And Father, as we continue in our lives every day, in our respective areas, we pray that we might live our lives in such a way that others can see Christ living in us and that you might be glorified. And Father, we pray that you forgive us when we fall short. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
So happy to see each and every one of you. Just a few announcements before we get started. We're thankful that Luke is with us this morning. He's been away for college and he's home for his spring break. So thankful to see him and Sandy. We missed several in our bunch. Brother Jesse Smith is still visiting with his daughter up near Cashin, who has lost her husband not long ago. I don't see Lonnie and Susan Smith with it, which is a little concerning. Hope they're doing okay. And then we have some visitors. The Baker family, all the way from Greenville, Texas, is with us this morning. We're so thankful to see them. Jenny Baker is my niece. She's the daughter of my sister. And so we're thankful for each one of you here this morning. There's 18 of us. We've been hovering around 17 or 18 every week. You know, some are missing and have some visitors, and so we have a good crowd this morning. Just we told you about my mother last week, and she's been in the hospital this week. They've done lots of tests, and she's happy to go through those tests. Not really. She was fussing about them just a little bit, but she got some good news. It started out with bad news. She does have cancer, but it's at an early stage two. And the oncologist said that it is curable, and they're going to go with a plan of low-dose radiation and a chemo pill. They think it will shrink the mass in a period of 5 to 6 weeks, and if not, they'll do surgery to remove the remainder of what's left. So if you would continue to keep my mother in your prayers. She just recently obeyed the gospel, which we're so thankful for. But she seems to be in good spirits and humor. Not long ago, that wouldn't have been the case. So we're thankful for that also. This morning, the lesson is entitled, Calling on the Name of the Lord, which is a grand promise that forms the basis of our hope, which is found in Romans 8, verse 13, which says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But this is a misunderstood scripture expression. People have the notion that calling on the name of the Lord involves only the use of His name in prayer. They suppose that's all that is necessary to salvation, is for a person to pray to the Lord. But let us see first what calling on the name of the Lord is not. It is not believing. Believing has to be first. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 and verse 14. Calling is not the same as saying His name. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7 and verse 21. And why call ye me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46. And calling is not praying. As the Bible tells of Saul, who later became Paul, that he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink, Acts 9 and verse 9. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, Acts 9 and verse 11. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22, 16. Those who insist that calling is praying should tell us, what would one ask for? For God's love? Surely not, as we have already received His love. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5 and verse 8. If calling is for His grace, there is no reason. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, reads Titus 2 and verse 11. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, Acts 20 and verse 32. If calling is for an opportunity to know the truth, that too is already given. How that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4. All has been provided. The decision now is for the sinner. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, Ephesians 2 and verse 3. We have noticed what calling is not. Now we need to let the Bible tell us what calling is. For what saith the Scripture, Romans 4 and verse 3, let God be true, but every man a liar, Romans 3 and verse 4. Calling is explained 3 times in the New Testament. Consider God's explanation as follows. We'll be examining the expression in context from Acts chapter 2. We'll begin in Acts 2 and verse 21. And it shall come to pass, which references a prophecy, that whosoever shall call on the name, which references authority and power of the Lord, shall be saved, Acts 2:21. The prophecy quoted is a sacred pledge of God from Joel 2 and verse 32, which reads, And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant, whom the Lord shall call, Joel 2 and verse 32. By inspiration, Peter was told what to do to gain deliverance from the bondage of sin. He said, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be beholden of it. Acts 2:22-24. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that is, by his authority and power, for the remission of sins, that is, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:36-38. Then those who receive the truth obey the truth. We are told in Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, Acts 2:41. This inspired explanation of Acts 2:21 makes it clear that calling is dependent upon God. It involves subjection to his will. It is our response to his authority and his power. It is simply to meet God's conditions, and in this way, to ask him to honor his promise to free us from the guilt of sin. Calling is also explained in the conversion of Saul, which is recorded in three accounts found in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. The Savior appeared to Saul miraculously, not to save him, but to qualify him to be an apostle. Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things into which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, or in Christ, Acts 26:15-18. Some say he was saved on the road to Damascus, but if so, strangely, he did not know it. For he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink, Acts 9:9. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do, Acts 9:6. And if Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, he was saved while he was still in his sins. As Ananias told Paul, And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. He understood the phrase calling to mean obey. He was called by being baptized, that is, how he called. Ananias said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized, reads Acts 9:17-18. The man was to obey the Lord in baptism. Then Christ would honor his promise to wash away his sins, that is, calling on his name. Romans 10 and verse 13 would not have a different meaning. For whosoever shall call upon the name or authority of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse 13. Calling upon the name or authority of the Lord is the equivalent of insisting on having Bible authority for every single thing that we practice and teach. And whatsoever ye do in word, that is teaching, or deed, that is practice, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Calling upon the name or the authority of the Lord is equivalent to abiding in the teachings of Christ, lest we have not God. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Read 2 John in verse 9. Believing is necessary. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Acts 10 and verse 14. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. One has to hear. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Romans 10, 14. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. This is my beloved Son. Hear him, Mark 9 and verse 7. That means there has to be a messenger. How shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 and verse 14. But in the first century, messengers had to be officially commissioned and inspired to speak the truth because they didn't have the total revealed word of God at that time. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10 and verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Titus 1, verses 1 through 3 reads, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Titus 1, verses 1 through 3. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, Jesus said. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Reads John 16, verses 13 through 15. Then the taught could call or can call. For whosoever shall call upon the name or authority of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and verse 13. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day, speaking of the resurrection at the judgment. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore hath that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me, John 6:44-45. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:37. The text has to mean the same as Matthew 7:21. Submit, do what he says. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Again, inspiration shows Romans 10:13 equals obeying the gospel. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report or preaching? Romans 10:16. In summary, calling is responding to God's call for us. He calls on us through His Word. Whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Romans 10:13-17 reads, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report or preaching? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our answer or response, calling on him, is obedience. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 3:21. We are not saying that calling always means baptism, but it means doing what the Lord says to be done, whatever that is. When we obey, we are relying upon God to honor the promise of salvation made through Joel and in the other inspired passages. Having done this, here is what we will be in religion: disciples, saints, Christians, believers. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Reads Acts 9:1-2. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all them that call on thy name. Acts 9:13-14. That is, bind all that obey the authority of Christ. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11:26. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee, Acts 22:19. Bible belief is a similar word as call or calling. True Bible belief implies doing or obeying the teachings of Christ. In doing what he did, Saul persecuted the church. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, inhaling men and women committed them to prison. Acts 8, verse 3. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, reads Galatians 1 and verse 13. Not a denomination with a human name, as the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, Acts 2:47. Salute one another with a holy kiss, that is, make your greeting holy. The churches of Christ salute you, Romans 16:16. The Corinthians illustrate the truth to us. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized, Acts 18 and verse 8. The Corinthians' belief resulted in obedience to the teachings of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, the Corinthians are referred to as them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, meaning that they had obeyed. They are in Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. They were called to be saints, that is, called by the teachings of the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2, 14. They had called upon the name of Jesus Christ, or obeyed Christ. Now notice the passage. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Let us continue to call upon his name. And whatsoever ye do in word, that is, do in teaching, or deed, that is, do in practice, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, do all by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. James in chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, reads, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. For whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James 1, 22 through 25. In conclusion, whosoever, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Romans 10 and verse 12. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2, 9. The Apostle Paul said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1 and verse 16. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Romans 16:15. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. The offer is universal. All accountable people may enjoy the benefits of the grace of God. Therefore, all accountable people share a common responsibility to know, respect, and obey the conditions of divine grace by their obedience to the gospel of Christ. Peter said, what shall be the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? 1 Peter 4:17. Paul said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. The promise is to us, that's you and that's me. Seek ye then the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:6. And now why tarriest thou, that is, why wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name or the authority of the Lord. If you have need, please come as together we stand and sing.
First and fourth verse. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood? In the blood.